on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of sports. Time On with Sam McClure.
For Master Builders Training Victoria, short courses now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au, RTO 3935, and AR Property Investments. Learn about property investment one-on-one.
It falls on Paddy Cripps, and it's exhausting. They've got to get that kid's signature ASAP. If they don't get him signed, that is catastrophic for Carlton. They have to get it done as soon as they possibly can.
The other thing that you could do, I think, that can help you shore up this team is to sign Patrick Cripps and Charlie Kuhner.
We are in discussions with both those players, and I've got no reason to think that that those extensions you talk about won't be finalised in the near future. As I sit here right now, the way they're playing, you talk about our list and where the excitement and where the improvement's going to come from. I mean, if you're a Carlton supporter or a Carlton member and you're watching those two run around, you've got complete confidence in our future.
2 minutes past six. Hello and welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of Time On. Sam McClure with you up until 7 o'clock. Yeah, significant day for the Carlton Footy Club with two of their stars, arguably, currently their two best players, Paddy Cripps and Charlie Kuhner, both indicating to the Carlton Footy Club that they will be staying for their next contract. Now, they haven't signed the contracts, but that's fine because they've told the club that they will be staying up until their free agency kicks in, which will be 2021 for Paddy Cripps and 2023 for Charlie Kuhner. It's a good bit of business for both the players and for the club as well. There's heaps of room in the salary cap, and now they can concentrate on going after a big fish and a free agent, potentially Dylan Shiel, at the end of this year or the end of next year. But it is this time of the year, and it's been a big 24 hours after last night's show, that we start to see the upcoming trade period just take its shape a little bit. So Carlton today essentially get the nod of approval from Cripps and Kuhner that they are going to sign. We think that the Tom Lynch deal at the Gold Coast Suns is between three clubs, that being the club that he's at, the Suns, the Tigers, and the Pies. Rory Sloane and Mitch McGovern both being hunted by the Hawthorn Footy Club, who think that Tom Lynch is going to one of the Tigers and the Pies. And Jeremy McGovern being courted by Fremantle, Sydney, and several Victorian clubs. 9429 1116. How do you think this is starting to shape? We sort of did this a few weeks ago with Collingwood, trying to get ahead of the curve a little bit. And I want you guys to get ahead of the curve here because you're very good at doing it. Just tell us your reaction to the last 48 hours and how it's starting to shape. Because I think this trade period, we know that last year was big, but this is going to be even bigger. And with the news last night on Mitch McGovern, who is a contracted young star being up for grabs and playing in Victoria next year, it adds just another layer of interest to what is happening. Now, speaking of Tom Lynch on the Gold Coast Suns, we know that Nathan Buckley has been quite strong and adamant that if he wants to leave the Gold Coast, he should be able to play wherever he wants to play. So that's one club that's interested in him. The other one, the Richmond Footy Club, well, their CEO, Brendan Gale, he went into, I reckon, the most depth that anyone from Richmond has gone into when it's coming to Tom Lynch. He spoke to KB and Doc a little over an hour ago.
Oh, look, I think clubs would be derelict in their duty if they weren't exploring those sorts of options. And I don't like to talk about other players, particularly when they're on contract. I mean, Tom Lynch, he's a fine player. Were he ever in a position where he chose to leave, for whatever reason that might be, I'm sure we'd be interested in exploring him out along with a host of other clubs. He's a fine player, and it must be very hard for anyone to play well in the teams, performing well. So you need to take that into account, I guess.
So if he does leave, if it is under free agency, then the Gold Coast Suns will get a first-round pick straight after their pick. So if they finish 17th and end up with pick 2 and Lynch leaves to Richmond or Collingwood under free agency, they'll end up with pick 3. Are they better off holding out for a trade with Tom Lynch? And it's also going to be interesting to see what happens with Rory Sloane. Sam Edwin was the one who broke this story months ago, I reckon, on SEN Breakfast, that Hawthorn's interest in Rory Sloane was real, and they're of the belief that they can get both Sloane and Mitch McGovern and only have to trade for one of them because McGovern is under contract. 9429 1116. Want to hear from Carlton fans as well. Were you worried at any stage that either Kuhner or Cripps were going to leave? I've got prizes to give away. We've got double passes to Hawthorn and Adelaide on Saturday night. What a game that will be at the MCG. We've also got $100 vouchers to the Railway Club Hotel, which is Melbourne's home of best stakes. 9429 1116. We start in Noble Park, where we find Sam. Hello, Sammy.
Hi, how are you?
Very well.
Good. Just on Collingwood, I'm a mad Collingwood supporter. I'll be very happy if Tom Lynch decides to come to the Pies. But at the same time, I will be a bit concerned if we lose Darcy Moore. Because we still need that tall centre-half back who can monitor and take those marks. Because Dunn is already 30, he's not going to last there forever. I'd rather have Lynch and keep Darcy Moore at the same time. Then we will become a complete team. Because Darcy Moore is not going to get a game with Cox, Lynch, Reed, and Majacek playing the way they're playing right now. So as much as we want Tom Lynch, which will be great, we'll still rather keep Darcy Moore in the back to become that complete team, which we will have for the premiership.
So Sam's saying we want Tom Lynch, but got to keep Darcy Moore. I'm not sure how you can afford Tom if Darcy stays. That is the thing. Carlton fans, talk us through your reaction to the fact that Charlie Kernow and Paddy Cripps have told the club that they are staying put. They couldn't afford to lose either of those two players. Paddy Cripps is third in the coaches' votes, can you believe? He's carrying that midfield, and he is a genuine star. He's probably going to be captain of the footy club next year. Charlie Kernow, as Dermot Brereton said, at some point will be the best player in the competition and has taken 19 contested marks this year, which is one more than Lance Franklin and one fewer than Charlie Dixon. That is the sort of heir that we are talking about, and he's only 21 years of age. We'd love to hear from Blues fans on 9429 1116. Let's go to Altona. Hello, Tom.
Hey, g'day, Sam. How you going?
I'm very well, mate.
That's good. I just want to know your thoughts. If there's maybe any salary cap pressure at Melbourne to keep Brayshaw, and what your thoughts on Carlton maybe trying to get after him. Very happy we got Cripper and Cripper signed up, but I'm thinking Brayshaw, there might be a bit of a squeeze potentially. And your thoughts?
How could Melbourne let Brayshaw go, Tom, would be my first question.
Oh, look, I don't think it could, like, how, but in saying that, if a club comes along and offers, you know, a couple hundred thousand dollars a season more...
What's he worth, do you think, Tom?
With the way he's playing and come back and play this year, I reckon he's upward of maybe $500,000-$600,000 a year for at least 3 years.
Yeah, I reckon he's even more than that. I reckon the weeks he put in, was it against Adelaide and Alice Springs, and was it the week later or the week before? Anyway, both games he had 37. I think he had 37 and 3 against Adelaide, and it was either the week later or the week before he had 30-odd as well. That was the fortnight where we all stood up and went, whew, this guy can really play. And we know that he could have, and we know he went early in the draft in the top five, but with his concussion problems, we were all sort of waiting for him to come back and just get some continuity, and he's done that. And you're right, I just can't see how Melbourne could let him go. Thanks, Tom. Appreciate it. Let's go to Preston. G'day, Matt.
Hey, Sam. Thanks for taking my call, mate. Appreciate it. I'm thinking with Collingwood and the acquisition of Tom Lynch, assuming Gold Coast do play hardball and want to negotiate a trade,
yep.
I reckon there's definitely some currency within that Collingwood lineup that could get him over the line. But the question is, what are we willing to lose in terms of our lineup, our structure, to fit in and accommodate, you know, hopefully a 70-goal-a-year forward?
Are you a Collingwood man, Matt?
I am.
So what are you willing to part with?
Look, I think Jordan Bogoe's been fantastic so far this season. But I think there would be an opportunity possibly to cash in on, let's say, an inflated value his services.
Hang on, Matt. So you would let Jordan DeGoey go if it meant Tom Lynch coming the other way?
Only because I see Jordan DeGoey as a role that we can fill and we do have other options. Maybe not as good, but I think the acquisition of Tom Lynch is absolutely the most important factor for taking us to the next level. And if that means parting with one of maybe three or four really talented mid-sized forward/midfielders, I think that could be a possibility. Not for sure, but it's definitely a discussion worth having.
Yeah, the more Matt talks about it, the more I think without stating the bleeding obvious, this is such a big off-season for Collingwood coming up. They have now shown that they've got the right coach, they've got the right footy department structure, they've got Ned Guy in who's running recruiting and list management, who's a great operator. They just have to cash in with the form that they've got, with the youngsters that look like they're gold or turning into gold. Tom Lynch next year at Collingwood is a frightening proposition. Having said that, it is frightening also if he goes to Richmond. Matt, appreciate it. Let's go to Mill Park. G'day, Darren.
Hey, Sam. How you doing?
Very well, mate.
mate, great news that Cripper and Curnow are staying. And I think that, you know, they're obviously champions and they're our future. So that's one of the reasons why we want them to stay. But the other thing is, it sends a clear message that they believe that under Bolts and the future of the club, it looks bright. So hopefully the next run of players down, for example, like a Zach Fisher, he looks at that and says, well, you know, those two blokes are on board, so, you know, I'm buying in as well. Mm. And also, hopefully, it flows through to the classic one is Mark Murphy now, where he says, well, you know, I want to stay on board too.
Yeah.
You know, the future looks bright for the Blues, because that's the one they need to get done now, in my view. They need to get Murph to stay.
Okay, Darren says, Cripps and Curnow basically done. Now let's turn to Murphy. The thing I think that's gone a little underrated is that Carlton, in the second half of the year, have a really good draw, and they need to start winning games. They can't afford to go 2-20 or 3-19, and it starts this weekend against Fremantle, I think, who have won 2 out of 20 quarters on the road this year. I'll just repeat that stat. Fremantle, on the road, have won 2 out of 20 quarters. So if Carlton aren't winning that game on the weekend, I know Fremantle just beat Adelaide, but they need to start showing the likes of Cripps and Curnow, who have repaid some faith, and the likes of Mark Murphy and some of the younger brigade, that the wheel is starting to turn. I know they've got a lot of injuries. Let's hope they get a couple back this weekend. But look, system-wise, I think they need to improve in the second part of the year. Let's go to Anthony, who's listening crystal clear on the app all the way from New South Wales.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. How are you, mate?
Very well, Anthony.
Two things I wanted to say. Firstly, the bloke before, I completely agree. It just shows faith in the club that those blokes are signing back on, which is a fantastic thing for Carlton.
Yeah.
Secondly, I know you've copped a heap of abuse on Twitter today. Just stick with it. You're the most courageous and most integrity of a journalist I've seen, so well done, and just stick with it.
Good on you, Anthony. Appreciate the sentiment very much. Just on that topic, Dave from Darwin's just texted in on 0433981116. Dave says, Sam, can you please comment on McGovern's manager rubbishing your claims last night? Dave, really appreciate the text. Hope Darwin is going well. Thanks for listening. Yeah, happy to. So Colin Young, what Dave's talking about is spoke to Michelangelo Rucci, who is the chief footy writer of the Adelaide Advertiser last night after we went to air. And he said that the claims are not correct. But my comment on that, and I've said it, I think I said it with Gaz and Tim this morning on breakfast, of course he's going to. And now, while that might seem strange, for the footy fans out there who would like it explained, Colin Young is Mitch McGovern's manager, meaning that in all circumstance, he has to protect Mitch. Now, he's not going to come out and say, yeah, of course, Mitch tried to leave at the end of last year, and yet, to be honest, he'd like to leave this year as well, even though he's under contract. Can you imagine what that would do for Mitch for the last 11 weeks of this season in Adelaide? It would just be untenable. He couldn't do that. We saw what happened with Lockie Henderson and Carlton when he did that 5 weeks out from the season. He was put in the VFL. He was made to feel uncomfortable. Whether it was rightly or wrongly by the club, it was messy. So let's just all wait and see what happens in the trade period. But Mitch McGovern wants to play in Victoria next year. That's a fact. Let's go to Greg in Richmond, who wants to speak about Tommy Lynch. G'day, Greg.
Thanks, Sammy. Good state weather, mate. I reckon the Tigers should and will get Tom Lynch. If we send a surplus of players to Gold Coast, and that's what they need experienced players, say a Miles, Lloyd, even Shea Bolton, I reckon that will get the deal done.
Good on you, Greg. Love the call. Let's go to Rod in Listerfield. Hello, Rod.
G'day, Sammy. Thanks for having me on your show, mate.
Of course,
fantastic.
Mate,
I'm two things. I'm on board with all the Blues fans. The best thing about Cripper and Curnow playing for the Blues is that they're obviously happy, and it's a united, you know, that they're heading in the right direction. They're happy. That's the great thing. The other thing I wanted to say is I just hope Carlton keep doing what they're doing and don't go after the big fish the next year or so, because I personally believe building a team the way they're doing it's the right way. It'll just be a more even, happier ship at Carlton, I think, if they just do what they're doing.
Mm. But Dylan Scheel would add much-needed depth to that midfield, Rod, wouldn't he?
He certainly would. Any of the uncontracted players would. I just think provided they don't... I actually spoke to our president before and met you at training before the first game of the year, and Mark Laguidashe was very clear on the fact that he didn't want to go about this rebuild the wrong way. He was a great guy to speak to. He just said that they want to keep trying to rebuild it properly and get good people. Like, they've got great people at the club. They've got great bunch of kids playing for the club. And I just hope they don't go and upset the apple cart by paying too much to the wrong person. That's all. I don't think they will, but that's what I'd like to say.
Good on you, Rod. Hold the phone, says Rod. 94291116. We've still got a $100 voucher to the Railway Club Hotel and a double pass to Hawthorn Adelaide to give away for our best callers. Let's go to Elwood, where we find Peter. Hello, Pete.
Yeah, g'day, mate. I just want to know how Hawthorn can get anything done with Tom Leach or even McGovern for that. Whispers about that as well.
Who, are you a Hawks man, Peter?
I am indeed, mate.
Who, let me ask you this. Would you prefer Tom Lynch for 1.2 or 1.3 a year, or would you prefer Rory Sloane and Mitch McGovern for 1.5-ish?
I'd take the two.
Yeah, I think so too. I think so too, Peter. And I think that's what they're trying to do. Is that, would you like to see those two boys in the brown and gold next year?
I would. Now, is Sloane a free agent or restricted?
Restricted free agent, yeah.
Yeah, so we'd have to give up a fair whack to get him, wouldn't we?
Well, no. I mean, no club has ever matched.
Yeah. That's fair. Fair call.
Good on you, Peter. Appreciate it. Let's go to Trevor in Wallen. Hello, Trev.
Hi, Sam. How are you?
Very well.
That's good. I'm still in Wallen and I haven't crashed yet, so that's a good thing. just to go a little bit left to centre with Cripps and Curno, with Caruso, he hasn't got that many years left in him, although he's a bit of a bulldozer. Instead of looking for someone to help in the centre, would it be better to try to find someone who is going to help in the ruck to get the ball down to Cripps and Curno?
Good on you, Trevor. Appreciate it. Careful driving as well. Let's go to Murrelbark. Hello, Jack.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. How you travelling, mate?
Very well, thanks, mate.
That's the way. Tom Lynch to Collingwood. I actually think the Suns and the Collingwood in this trade here are actually perfectly suited. Mm. Collingwood have got an absolute plethora of midfielders. The Suns have got virtually none.
The Suns need midfielders, don't they, Jack? They really do.
Yeah, they do. Collingwood's lost a few key position players over the last couple of years, more specifically in the back line than the forward line. I would see a trade of perhaps Taylor Adams. I know he went and got him from the Suns. I know he's been good. But you've got to give quality to get quality. Mm. You had a prior caller before saying Lynch to Richmond for Lloyd and Miles and a couple of other cutlery sets. I mean, give us a spell. Who of the Suns would buy that deal? I reckon Taylor Adams and Josh Thomas for Tom Lynch and a second rounder, and I reckon both parties are not happy to do the trade, but both parties are happy with what comes in the door. I don't reckon that'd get it done.
Good on you, Jack. And from us, Jack, take a $100 voucher to the Railway Club Hotel, the Railway Club Hotel, Melbourne's best steaks. A very well thought out call there from Jack. Let's go to Backers Marsh. Hello, Shane.
G'day, Sam. How are you going?
Very well, mate. Hello. Thank you.
Just ringing to say it's great for all the Carlton supporters, especially the doubters. This is great news going forward for two young players to have faith in a great club. So go Blues and stick with them, boys.
Good on you, Shane. Love the call. Yeah, it's got a fair bit of reaction, the two guys signing on. And I think it's important to know that, as I said a little earlier, that now the contracts haven't been signed. They will be signed before the end of the year. But for Cripps and Curno to both indicate to the club that they're staying for their next contract, it's more that what Ollie Wines has done with Port, even though I think Ollie will stay as well, and it's more that what Sloane has done with Adelaide. So an indication about the next contract, the way free agency is set up, is as good as, well, we're signing. Because once they say, look, we're happy to sign until we become free agents, then all they've got to do is work out the dollars and cents. And if they're happy to sign, it's a big, big show of faith for Brendan Bolton. This is Time On, thanks to AR Property Investments. Learn about property investments one-on-one and Master Builders Training Victoria. Short course is now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au, RTO 3935. Keep the calls coming on 9429 1116. Happy to keep taking them. Up next, the team news for Port Adelaide versus the Bulldogs, and we'll cross to Russia for the latest on the World Cup. But first, it's time to cross out to Mel Horsey at tonight's Toyota Good for Footy with a Saints star who's returning to the fold this weekend. Hello, Mel.
Thanks, Sam. Tonight, we're with Anthony Smith Toyota at the Northern Saints Football Club Faulkner for round 12 of Toyota's Good for Footy program. It's all about grassroots footy and promoting AFL at a junior level across the country. I'm here with St Kilda player Jake Carlisle. Thanks for joining us, Jake.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Now, you'll be having a kick with the Northern Saints kids soon. Is there anything you picked up in your junior footy days that you think is still relevant for you today?
Yeah, I'm obviously looking forward to getting out there and try and give as much back as possible. I remember when I was a junior and came through the ranks that we had a few Essendon guys come, so we were in that region of where those players would come visit. And, you know, having a whole session with them was pretty good because it just sort of inspired me to be like them. So it was sort of good, and the advice they just gave me when I was young was just keep practicing and keep playing as much footy as possible, and whether that be kicking on the ground or at home with the little fluffy footies and trying to smash mum's vases and things like that. So at all times, just try and have a footy in the hand and just keep trying to improve, and that definitely helped me.
Absolutely, and I'm sure you'll do that for the kids today. Now, the Saints are having a challenging year, but how important is that sense of community for the club to keep spirits high, particularly now you're back at Moorabbin?
Yeah, it's very important. It's obviously good to be back at Moorabbin from Seaford. So, you know, we're back to all our supporters now, but at the same time, you know, whether winning or losing, it's just always good to put a smile on other kids' faces and give back as much as we can. And, you know, if we're not going so well, it's always good to sort of encourage young kids to say that there's always light at the end of the tunnel, and there's always ways we can improve, and you know, we've still got half a year to go, so hopefully we can obviously give back as much as we can, but at the same time try and perform as well.
For sure. Well, good luck with the Suns this weekend. That was St Kilda's Jake Carlisle for Toyota's Good Footy program, supporting local clubs.
I think it just came down to, because Marshall and Watts are not dissimilar, you know, the Marshall's at 197, Watts is tall. So I think we're probably a bit more worried about having the extra tall, yes, perhaps for tomorrow night, but I think it's the balance for the going forward too. We still want Jack part of our side. We brought Jack here for that reason, to help us, and he'll still help us a lot. Jack knows his form hasn't been at the level he would like it to be, and he understands the reasons for it.
29 minutes past six, Ken Hinckley there speaking about Jack Watts, who you would have already known has been dropped for the game against the Western Bulldogs. The teams are in, by the way. Port v the Western Bulldogs live on 11:16 SEN from 7 o'clock tomorrow. Hutto, Peter Donegan and Daryl Wakelin calling the action. Port Adelaide in. Marshall, Hompsch, Lindsay Thomas out. Watts, Need, who's also been dropped, and Jonas, who has a hamstring. And for the Western Bulldogs in. Wallace, Cordy, Biggs and Webb out. Suckling, who has an Achilles, Dixon with a hamstring, Morris with a knee, and Roughhead omitted. Jordan Roughhead has been dropped again. What is happening with Jordan Roughhead? And is he gone? He's a free agent at the end of the year. 9-4-2-9-11-16. This is the man that 2 days before the 2016 grand final, when he had the eye injury, the talk was, oh, well, if Roughhead doesn't play, we can't win. We just can't. Because of his form in the ruck and also as a defender. 9-4-2-9-11-16. Western Bulldogs fans, can I please hear from you? What has happened with Jordan Roughhead? Because the way I've seen him, he's a star player and he's important to that side. I know he was a little bit out of form earlier in the year, but what else has gone on there? Let's go to the Dodo Mobile Open line, where we go to Geelong first. Hello, Christian.
Hey, Sam, how you going, mate?
Very well, mate.
That's right. It's on the Tom Lynch conversation.
Yeah.
I'm a Richmond supporter. I just wanted to know, with like, we seem to have a lot of guys in our reserves list that are playing twos every week that probably would be getting senior games for most other clubs.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that's guys like Miles and Lloyd, Bolton, maybe Brandon Ellis, guys like that would be of interest in the Gold Coast Suns? And my second part, I'm actually interested to hear where you think he might end up.
If I had to call it right now, Christian, I would say the Tigers. But, I mean, honestly, we don't know, and no one knows, because Tom hasn't made his decision. He may very well stay. But, yeah, it's a really good point that you make, Christian. They do need midfielders, the Gold Coast Suns, and they know that. So Miles starts and plays every week for them. Lloyd's the same. Bolton's the same. Would they take those three over pick three or four? Well, probably. But it's interesting. Let's go to Rowan in Park Orchard. Hello, Rowan.
G'day, Sammy. How are you going?
Very well, mate.
Mate, yeah, doggy supporter. Geordie Roughhead. Yeah, it's been an amazing...
What's going on there?
Race. Look, I love him. He's been fantastic. I don't know if he's ever been a terrific ruckman, like under the Brendan McCartney era. He tried him at full back and, you know, but look, at the end of the day, 2016, as far as I'm concerned, like, I'm not sure where he is now and what he's at or anything, but when JJ had that touch goal and Swans kicked out and it was all in the balance and he took that towering mark and sent it back in again. Mate, he's a doggies legend. I love the guy. I'm not sure where he's at next year. He has struggled a little bit this year, but look, he's been a remarkable, he's been a fabulous player for the doggies, I reckon. Like, you know, he's no star, but geez, we owe the guy a lot. I have a heap of respect for him, and whatever happens from here on in, I just wish him all the best. I mean, he'll forever be a Bulldogs premiership player.
Good on you, Rowan. He certainly will be. I'd love to hear from more Bulldogs fans on Jordan Roughhead, 94291116. More of your calls shortly. Greg, Mick, Stuart, James, Wasner, Andy, just hang on the line, we'll get to you. But first, the 2018 FIFA World Cup, it's just one day away, can you believe? And Australia's opening clash with France is just 3 days away. 8 o'clock is kickoff on Saturday night. And David Bashir, SBS commentator and reporter on the ground in Kazan in Russia. Catch every Socceroos game and the match of the day live on SBS right throughout the World Cup. It's been good enough to join us. Bash, welcome.
How you going, Aaron?
Very, very well. It's been a long time since you and I have spoken on the air and you're live in Kazan, in Russia. Bash, talk us through the build-up to what is on Saturday in the game against France. Bert van Marwijk has been very, very strong on saying that he's not worrying about Denmark, he's not worrying about Peru. The only thing that matters is the game against France.
Yeah, he's really singular about his preparation. You know, he doesn't look ahead as you suggested, but it's been really relaxed. Kazan's a population of about 1.4 million. It's really easy to get around. They actually based themselves here before they knew they were playing their opening match against France. So it was just a stroke of luck that had them based in the first city they were playing in. But I reckon it's a real advantage that they're training in the base, which is the ice hockey club AK Bars, who's got a facility to house the players in behind. So they don't have to travel anywhere for training. France have to fly in, of course, and that's going to be a slight disadvantage, although they've got plenty of skill, and we know their collective value of the team is over $1 billion in the transfer market, so it's absolutely scary the individual talent they've got. But look, Van Marwijk's concentrating on the team ethic of the Socceroos and what they can do in particular in the first 20 to 30 minutes to negate that, you know, those attacking abilities of France.
When you look at the side, Bash, and the spine, which I know is a very much an AFL term, but the spine of the side, you've got Ryan in goal, who's class, Milligan, who's going to find his way down back. Jednak and Moy, I assume, will start together in the midfield, although I know there's been talk about Luongo next to Moy instead. And then Rogic up front. There's the makings of a good side there. The question is how much that we can hold out the quality that is France.
Absolutely. I think there's the risk-reward type formula. He needs to sort of build that into it. And Tom Rogic may not be the player to start against France. We've seen him just underperform in the last couple of friendlies leading up to the World Cup. He's just one of those guys that if he's not quite on his A game, you know, the turnovers can creep in, and France is not the type of opponent you want that to happen against. They'll punish you big time. So I think I'm just getting the feeling, and I may be wrong, but I'm just getting the feeling he might start more in Jedinak and Luongo more advanced with Lecky and Cruz in the boot. And Tom Rogic be a pinch hitter with Daniel Arzani, who, you know, obviously has just been such an exciting prospect for them. So I'm getting the feeling that may happen, and I reckon his conservative instincts, Bert van Marwijk, may take over when he's looking at team selection.
So what do you think the 11 will be to start against France, barring any injuries from the back, Bash?
I think it'll be the same back four. I think, obviously, Matty Ryan in goal, yep. Bayich, Milligan, Sainsbury, Risden. I reckon Moy and Jedinak will start. Cruz, Luongo, Lecky and Mabut. I think he will start. They just haven't had enough football for Tom Juric to really gauge how effective he'll be from the out. I think he may play some part. If I was a betting man, and you know, I've got no inside mail, I'm just piecing together all the pieces of the puzzle just to work out a starting lineup, and that's my tip for the starting lineup.
And the way that we're going to play, we know how Van Marwijk's sides in the past have played, Bash. Are you expecting to be more pragmatic than what was the passing game of Ange Postecoglou?
Absolutely. I think that, you know, the back 3 days are gone. That expansive nature of Ange Postecoglou is a thing of the past now. I think Bert Van Marwijk is an absolute football pragmatist. He'll
he'll know what to expect out of France, and he knows the actual assets and abilities of the Australian players. We've got good pace in behind. You know, obviously Matthew Lecky is a player that can hurt you big time. Andrew Nabuta, if he gets the right sort of services, a very similar thing. But what they don't want to do is leak possession back to France. That's the absolute nexus of their approach to this match. They just cannot afford cheap turnovers, because if they do, they like to get their fullbacks forward in France, and they can really overload key attacking areas and prove, you know, deadly.
Yeah, and we know that they've got some attacking options, particularly with Mbappe up front. Just on that, Bash, before we let you go, any news on the health of the French side? Are they going to go pretty into the game pretty full strength?
Yeah, well, you've probably picked up on social media that the injury, Adil Rami went into the back of Kylian Mbappe, and he went down. There's been big speculation he'll miss the match, but a good friend of mine who's the media manager for PSG, you know, texted me about 20 minutes ago saying Mbappe should start. There's no issue.
Right.
He obviously got an ankle clutter. I reckon France will go in with a pretty settled lineup. They've been underperforming a little bit, so you know that's a slight opening for Australia, because their performance against the United States the other night was subpar for them. They were booed off at halftime. In the previous match, they faced an Italy side that was in transition because they didn't qualify for the World Cup. They've been beaten recently by Colombia at home. And they've shown frailties in World Cup qualifying. We know their individual abilities, but if you can get under the skin of France and really test their psyche and their resolve, you know, they can be found wanting on occasions. There's no doubting their individual ability, and I think that's the thing that Australia will try to exploit.
And is it a clean bill of health for us?
Pretty much. There was three players or four players that missed yesterday's training session. Sorry, 2 days ago, and they were all back. The 23 were training yesterday. It was pretty spirited yesterday. Andrew Nabuta and Sainsbury sort of went toe-to-toe. It was nothing, you know, angry in what they said. That was very, very spirited. There's a number of players on the fringes of, you know, first 11 selection that were really going hard at it. And that's exactly the way Van Marwijk wants his team to train. Absolute precision. That's what he demands. Mark Van Bommel, his son-in-law, of course, the Dutch great of the past, was barking out the instructions. They need to do things really precisely, and there was a lot of emphasis on ball retention and the right choices defensively yesterday in the training session. They're just about to go out on the pitch in about 10 minutes' time, and we're going to have a tour of their training facilities and their recovery facilities after that. So that should be fascinating. I can tell you they've brought a choice of mattresses here to Kazan to get a good night's sleep. You know how important that is.
We certainly do. We'll watch that space as well. Bash, appreciate your time, and can't wait to hear you calling the game on Saturday night on SBS.
Good on you. Great to talk to you.
David Bashir there. Good news is a clean bill of health for us, and maybe Mbappe under an injury cloud with that ankle injury for the French as well. Let's get back to the calls. Just on the SMS line, back on what we're talking about with Roughhead. Jordan Roughhead is not alone, says this texter. Key Doggies players from the 2016 that have dropped off include Biggs, Johannesson, Dunkley, Dalhouse, Boyd, Dixon. Not ideal. Agreed with that. And another anonymous text. Hey, Sam, where is Cade Collard-Jasny at? Former pick five would look good next to Hardwick and Sicily long-term for the Hawks and be the next Birchall. What do you think? Terry Wallace has been big on Cade Collard-Jasny at the Gold Coast Suns. He had those concussion issues. Just get Mitch to check out the back. Was Collard-Jasny named as an emergency last week, or is he back to playing? Is he playing in the knee full or back to being injured? Because I know that Lyons and Peter Wright were both named as emergencies, but Wright's coming back from a calf injury. Anyway, let's get back to the calls. Speaking of the Gold Coast Suns, Greg in Ashwood wants to speak about Tom Lynch.
Yeah, g'day, Sam. I'm a Collingwood supporter, and I hope we don't get Tom Lynch.
Really?
I think we kicked 20 goals, 13 on Monday. We've got Darcy Moore, who is, you know, hasn't lived up to expectations, so he's got a bit more in him. And I just think we're playing really well. And I'd hate to see Collingwood pay $1.3 million for a key forward, where the game I think is changing a little bit.
Okay, Greg says no Tom Lynch for us. Thanks, as a Collingwood supporter. Good on you, Greg. Let's get to Melton South. G'day, Stuart.
G'day. Just on Roughhead. I think Luke Beveridge threw the gauntlet down to him and Wallace
yeah.
a couple of weeks ago and virtually said, you know, you've got the rest of the season to perform. The way the Dogs have recruited lately, you know, while, you know, we've gone sort of, this sounds silly, big in the tall department, you sort of think, well, you know, maybe his papers might have been marked, and it'll be very interesting to see how Wallace plays tomorrow night.
Certainly will be. You get the feeling it's sort of last chance saloon for Mitch Wallace, although he might be feeling the same thing towards the club. By the way, Collie Jasny, Mitch has checked out the back, was not an emergency last week. He'd had a concussion issue the week before in the knee, for which has called into question his immediate playing future again. So that's just another young player being affected. That's bad news. Hopefully Cade Collie-Jasny is playing footy again soon. Two really quick calls. Wazza is in Hawthorn. G'day, Wazza.
Evening, Sam. How are you?
Good, mate.
We're going to keep Darcy Moore and Degoe. I reckon we trade Fasolo to the West Coast for a second round. Move our second and third rounds onto the Gold Coast for Tom Lynch in exchange for Thomas, Smith and Oxley. All those guys are Queenslanders, so it just strengthens up the local talent for those guys.
Okay, complicated trade, but essentially second and third round and some players going to the Gold Coast Suns. Good on you, Wazza. Andy's on the road. Hello, Andy.
Yeah, how are you going?
Very well.
Need to settle down on the Tom Lynch conversations. We've built up what we've got now through these young kids that we've invested in. Why would we get rid of them?
Okay, Andy saying hold the horses as well with Tom Lynch. This is time on for AR Property Investments. Learn about property investments one-on-one and Master Builders Training Victoria. Short course is now available. Visit mbavtraining.com.au.
Well, I couldn't believe my eyes on Sunday afternoon sitting down to watch the footy. The intensity, the effort, the pressure that this young Fremantle Dockers side put on the Adelaide Crows for the entirety of the four quarters at Optus Stadium was absolutely fantastic, given the fact that they were so much younger and more inexperienced than their opponents. And this man was the star of the show, and he is the NAB rising star for round 12. We speak, of course, of Brennan Cox. He kicked four on the weekend, and he joins us right now on Time On. Brennan, welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're absolutely more than welcome. Brennan, you went into the game with an interesting goal-kicking record. You'd kicked 8 goals, 17 going into it, but you kicked beautifully on the weekend. Did anything change, or was it just one of those days where things clicked?
Yeah, I'm at the club working my goal-kicking with David Hale and Frank Guerra. The North Melbourne game, I changed it and made it pretty simple, and it seemed to work for me.
What did you, without going into too much detail, you won't give away state secrets, Brennan, but what were the little things that you changed that sort of helped?
Yeah. So before I was counting my steps in and like focusing on things I didn't have to, and then so I made it a little bit simpler and just focused on something behind the goals and kicked to it.
It's funny when you make something so simple how easy it can seem, Brennan.
Yeah, buddy, oh.
Hey, what have you spoken with one of your mates, Adam Chera, in the last 24 hours? He was voted best on ground by both the coaches, had the 10 coaches' votes. Have you given him a little bit of stick that he couldn't get the nod over you?
I have given him a bit of stick, actually. But he played an outstanding game. First game down back and had 30. So,
yeah.
And in his first years, outstanding.
And was the win made better, Brennan, by the fact that you didn't have two of your A-graders and stalwarts of the club in Fife and Sanderlands there?
Yeah, obviously Fife and Sanderlands, two big outs, but the boys knew they had to step up and gave great effort, and we managed to get the win.
What do you think, Brennan, will be the message this weekend? That the club doesn't have a good record this season travelling? In fact, of the five games that you've played on the road, you've only been able to manage to win two quarters. What do you think the message is going to be going into the game against the Blues? Because it's a really good opportunity for the Dockers to make it two on the trot.
Yeah, I think if we can just take the same effort and intensity that we did have against the Crows and take that over against Carlton, then put ourselves in good stead.
Absolutely, couldn't agree more. Brendan, congratulations on the weekend, and hopefully you continue the brilliant form for the rest of the season. We look forward to your career progressing.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Round 12, NAB Rising Star, Brennan Cox there.
I think now I'm back to where we were at the start of the year. Probably doubtful that he may play again in the back half of this year, and even if he does, I wouldn't count on any great impact. As the weeks go by and he continues to communicate with us around the headaches and what's affecting him, and you know, if those symptoms and signs are there, then we're not going to take any risks. So until he gets back to a point where he he's 100% on top of things. He just won't play.
Luke Beveridge there painting a pretty bleak picture on Liam Pickens' future. We just hope that he gets well. Footy is absolutely second, third and fourth when it comes to this. His health is first, and all the best to Liam Pickens. Red Time headlines kicking off. Dustin Martin completed training today. He is tipped to take his place in Richmond's lineup for Sunday's clash with the Cats, but no guarantee according to track watchers that were there today. Nathan Buckley denying any wrongdoing in the management of Daniel Wells, who returned to the field for the second half after injuring his foot and now been ruled out for the year with a Lisfranc injury. And Gil McLaughlin has confirmed to Jared Waitley this morning that there will be some sort of change to rules at the end of the season to improve the state of the game. Gil also made it known his disappointment with recent goal review mistakes.
Does the score review routinely embarrass the game to a degree that is beneath the status of the competition?
That's a dramatic assessment. And it pisses me off when there's mistakes, if you want a direct answer. And I don't think it goes to assassinate. I do shake my head, though, with mistakes. And I sit there going, you know, come back to where we started. The game being the best it can be. If you have score review mistakes, it's unacceptable.
Yeah, pretty blunt from Gil on the siren there, and we like the bluntness. Catch the full Gil interview at sen.com.au. For AFL this week, remember with Sportsbet, if your team goes 24 points up, you win. Conditions apply, and as Brownie always says, gamble responsibly. The Road to Russia coming up next. Do not change that dial. It's followed by the first serve at 8 o'clock. Their special guest tonight is Darren Cahill. I'll be listening. I hope you are too. Otherwise, I'll see you tomorrow.